Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
I get the feeling Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Tribune, is in the first group. He's very safe about this sort of thing. Is that a fair assessment of you, Phil?
Yeah, it is. I go out to the store only rarely. I take advantage of the early hours set aside for people just like me, and I'm never without a mask.
I have found myself...
Actually, I wear gloves, too.
Do you really? Really?
Yeah.
I think the gloves are false protection. Why do you put the gloves on?
Because I'm touching things.
And then what happens to the gloves after you touch things?
After I go to the, as I'm heading back to the car, I take off the gloves, which conveniently go inside out, and one glove goes inside the other, and now the gloves are inside out, and when I get home, they go in the garbage.
That is the correct way to take them off. A lot of people do that and then just drop them right there in the parking lot.
That's the most awful thing. Like, once they're inside out, you're still protected, so you don't have to worry about, you're not really bringing, you know, you're not really contaminating the inside of your car once you've taken the gloves off.
Right,
and inside
you can
out.
Continue to hold them, put them in the car,
right.
And then put them in the garbage.
Right, and then I have a small pack of wipes, so in case I err, I can, you know, redo the steering wheel, which I almost never have to do because I'm really careful about that. But yeah, every now and then I'll see a nitrile gloves in the middle of the parking lot, and I'm like, really, dude? Because somebody has to pick that up, and I'm sorry, it's not going to be me, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, no, littering's never good. Now I describe them as little landmines you're putting out there.
And yeah, or the other, you know, other latex things you might find in the street and go, what the heck is
I know.
This?
I've seen those before, too, and I thought, wow.
Right.
Hey, really? Okay, never mind that conversation. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. One of our listeners is a limo driver. He called in a moment ago, and he said, look, if you're all concerned about the upcharge or actually the downcharge from these delivery services like Uber Eats or Grubhub to the restaurants, order directly from the restaurants. Don't use the apps. Frankly, it's not always been real easy. I have tried to order directly from restaurants before, and they defer me to the apps. Now, maybe that was pre-COVID, Phil, but...
Well, it depends on how they're set up. I mean, you know, if you're going to take the orders directly, you need to have people on the phones, just sitting there at the phone, handling that sort of thing. And for some restaurants that are, especially now, that are running a little leaner, it may be useful to job that out. They may see a value there.
What do you make?
But not all of these third-party places are charging as much as the third-party operators that have been making the news lately.
Well, they're making most of the money, too. I mean, who are the big players? It's Uber Eats that's about to acquire, maybe, Grubhub.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions. DoorDash.
Here's Caviar.
So here's my point. Forgot my point. What do you make of the cities insisting that they be transparent about the charges on the bill?
Well, I'm, you know, as a journalist, I'm always, you know, squarely behind any transparency requirement. Let everybody know the information and let them make their own minds. I think it might be potentially useful for customers to know that of their $70 order, if they have brought in dinner for the family, how much of that or how little of it actually wound up in the restaurant's hands, and they might rethink their position that way, or at least be a little more generous toward the restaurant in knowing that. That said, I don't think this requirement is toothless. I mean, it's when's the last time you got a delivery and you said, hang on, let me take a look at this receipt? You don't read it. Do I read it? I don't read it. I may look at the bottom line to make sure that the final number is what they told me on the phone it was going to be, but that's as far as I go. And I don't think this is going to affect consumer behavior, and I don't think it protects restaurants a bit. One of the restaurant owners I talked to about it said it was a nothing burger, just a big fat nothing burger.
Really? I'm a little surprised to hear that. I mean, my guess was when the word got out, maybe the second time, knowing what I saw the first time, I might be inclined to, and here again, the restaurant has to find a way to accommodate me. I'm trying to give them my money, but answer the phone, take my order. I guess some of them allow you to do it online. I mean, I've been doing that lately, and online directly with the restaurant. But, for instance, I was at Carson's again last weekend, this past weekend. I was at Carson's again. It's kind of it's near where I work. I like the food. It's a good price, blah, blah, blah. So it's a good go-to for my family.
Sure.
So I picked up some ribs and the Mediterranean chicken with a squeeze of lemon, which I found delicious. So I get that. When I went to pick it up, they had a whole table station area for Grubhub and another one for DoorDash and another one for Uber Eats. They had like two or three or four different delivery service stations ready for those people. Those were doing more business than people like me that were just ordering online and deciding to come pick it up themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the point of all of that is, except that Carson seems to be okay with that business model.
And also, they're obviously trying to make an effort to make the pickup process for the drivers as seamless and quick as possible.
I know, but the city has decided that, no, that's not a good business. Here's the problem. I mean, I see everything both ways. But the problem is that the city has decided, no, that's too hard on the business. We're going to insert ourselves and tell the two of them how to transact that. And I, as a rule, don't like that. Although I'm aghast at the idea that Grubhub might take 30% of Carson's money. But Steve Bertram was just wondering out loud if isn't that that's a deal between the two of them. I mean, for instance, suppose that as a result of this, fewer people use Grubhub. And as a result of that, fewer people order from Carson's because they're not going to come downtown like I did. Well, now, is Carson's all the better for that? I don't know that they are.
That's the point. That's a point.
I'm always leery of the word transparency, too, sometimes because I'm just suspect. But, you know, I mean, maybe I want to choose a restaurant that pays its waiters more. Could the argument be made that we should know what the wait staff is paid? How far does it go?
Well, in this case, one of the hidden charges that almost no one's aware of is that sometimes these services, they'll run a special in order to attract more customers, saying, okay, this week or this month, this day, it's 20% off. And what's not clear is that the 20% off, even though the service is announcing you get 20% off, it's the restaurant paying that 20%, not the service. They're not taking less money. Not only are they're forcing the restaurant, not forcing, but it's part of the agreement. The restaurant now is giving a 20% discount. And then the service is charging them based on the pre-discount total.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize any of this. We were kind of going over this with the city, and they said there's the menu price, there's the taxes, there's the delivery charge, there's the tip, and then there's the commission, which I thought the commission was kind of all of that. It was, I don't know, but on top of all of that, and you say...
The commission is what I just spoke of. In other words, if they're running any kind of special or anything like that, the extra charge of knowing who's bearing that, there are extra fees that can be involved depending on what kind of program, what kind of special or whatever they might be running, and that's part of it too. It's. I would have preferred scrapping all of this and just trying to do what San Francisco did, which is put a cap on the percentage of fees that you could charge.
Interesting. Phil Vitale's restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Our lines are pretty busy for Phil. You can talk to him, too. 312-981-7200. Maybe he's got a good order-out idea for us. Maybe you want to talk about his feelings about gloves. It's a new world. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Phil, lots of phone calls for you. Will you take a few calls with us?
Sure.
Any last thing you want to say before we do so?
No, you were talking about the Inn at Little Washington earlier, and I've actually been to that place, and I think the mannequins in 40s costumes kind of matches that aesthetic rather neatly. In fact, I want to go now, and I'm going to wear 40s costume, and I'm going to sit as quietly as I can, and when someone walks by, I'll suddenly say, hey, how you doing?
By the way, speaking of things dressed up, the Lions at the Art Institute had the face masks on, and then... Because this is not a perfect planet, somebody stole at least one of them. don't know if the masks are back on the Art Institute Lions. But
yeah, they were put back on pretty quickly, I think.
Okay, it was taken off. We know for a fact the Lions did not take it off himself while yelling freedom.
It's pretty good, Phil. It's pretty good. let's pick up some phone lines. Robert, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you?
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Sure, man.
I have the idea with the whole glove thing. And people say they go into the store, like the gentleman before, he goes into the store, he takes off his gloves, and the reason why he wears them is because he's touching everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you touched everything you purchased. You take the gloves off when you get out the store. The stuff you touched is in your bag, and it's in your home. So what do you do then? Do you wash the cans, the bags, all the packaged goods? You wash those when you get home then at that point?
Yep.
I mean, all that got touched by everybody else.
That's what I do.
Really?
The stuff comes into bags. It goes out on one particular counter area. I wash it all down. Actually, what I have is I have a little spray can of about 12% bleach solution, which I usually use to clean my cutting boards anyway. And I soak down a paper towel or a rag, and all the outside packaging I brought in gets a rub down.
How are you living your life, Robert? What do you do to stay safe?
I put the mask on when I do go in the stores. I don't put the gloves on since my purpose, because when I walk out of the store, I don't lick my fingers like I just had a rack of ribs. I just walk out of the store. I put the stuff in my car. I go home and wash my hands, and just kind of that normality. Because I mean, I don't even know, as far as this virus, if it lives on steel or if it lives on plastic. We don't really have full details, but at the same time, my personal opinion, I guess that's the way he lives, and it's okay, everybody has their right. I just think it's a little bit much if you're going to that excessiveness of that you're washing even the stuff you brought home. I think it's just, you're not living, I think. You're kind of just breathing to feeding off this whole virus thing, and it's just a bit much. I think, yes, there is protection, yes. The idea with the mask is that if it's just a thing for protection, for the in case somebody coughs or breathes or whatever crossing your path, that you're not inhaling that stuff. I get it. The gloves, I've seen people drive around their cars with the gloves on and a mask, and it's like, okay, you touched everything outside the world,
no,
and
you
just
it.
In your car, and like, where does it all really end?
My life
where
like,
is that fine line?
I'm living my life like you. I mean, literally, it sounds, you just described the way I do it. I wear the mask. I wash my hands when I get home. I don't wear gloves, and I'm not as cautious as Phil is, but he's a friend, and I'm not going to call him bad names or anything.
No, absolutely. I mean, he has.
I'm washing. Stop me, please.
I've seen people.
I can't help myself. I have a disease. I'm washing my hands. When you come out of the store and you've touched everything, now you touch the steering wheel. And now you touch your glove box and then the inside of the door and the outside of the door. I wear gloves, so everything I come in contact with, when I take the gloves off, before I even open the door of the car, now I'm not touching the inside of my car, everything I touch.
But doesn't that make your existence unpleasant then, Phil? Or does, you know what I mean?
Okay. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's a quick rub down. The washing of the packages I bring in the house takes me
is it 60 seconds, 2 minutes?
I'm sorry, Robert. Yeah. What did you say, Robert?
I'm saying, is it a quick no brainer, no big deal? If you're making, for example, for a family of four, it makes a $200 grocery, and now they got 40, 50 packages, and they're all mingling in a bag, and now you're standing there. How long are you wiping that bag down for it to be actually disinfected? Or is it now you're buying Clorox wipes or whatever it is that you're doing, and it can become excessive is all I'm saying. I mean, by all means, if it works for you, God bless you, and it works for you, and that's, it's fine. I mean, you're not hurting nobody by any means by doing what you're doing. It's just a personal opinion of mine that I think it just becomes a little bit over excessive.
I got it, Robert. Very interesting call, and I did
thank you.
Two different camps. Thanks for joining us, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Have a good day. I think he's absolutely right, Phil. If that makes you feel comfortable, live that way. And if he wants to live, you guys aren't married, you're not living in the same house.
Right.
I think it would be problematic if the one spouse turned to the other and said, oh, come on, put the soup in the cabinet already.
Yeah, it's kind of important to be on the same page within the household.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact remains: we know that if you're in kind of someone infected, touches something, that virus can live on a surface for a certain amount of time. And so I'm not necessarily sterilizing everything, but if you wash it down and then you don't touch it for a certain amount of time, you're much safer. I didn't make this stuff up. I mean, these are CDC guidelines.
Are there any restaurant foods you've had lately that you want to shine a light on?
Let's see. I've had for Mother's Day. Boy, was Mother's Day a huge day for restaurants on the curbside thing. Cinco de Mayo was even better, or possibly worse, because a whole lot of people at 5 o'clock decided they would like some Mexican food. They all called the restaurants at the same time and were quite surprised when it became chaotic as a result. But Mother's Day, I went to Smith, which is usually a restaurant that would cost me a whole lot of money to visit.
Yeah.
And instead, for about $40 per person, I was able to get cavatelli pasta with pork neck gravy and meatballs, and had a really nice salad with some sausage and salami in there, and some tiramisu. And you pull up, and they were ready for you, and the stuff goes. They load the stuff in the trunk, and I'm peeling away from the curb in a minute, and it worked out very well.
We had Osteria Via Stato. They let us entertain you downtown, not too far from the radio station. We ordered the prefix. It was about $40, but it was a full dinner with a tiramisu dessert, the tenderloin, the salad, the gnocchi, asparagus. By the way, we also ordered the week previous their limoncello kit with the vodka and the lemons and the simple syrup and how to make it, put it in the freezer. It was very nice.
Yeah, I fit in with you guys. I had Panera last night and ordered an extra sandwich for today.
All right.
And he had the face mask on that he got from Israel.
It's good for the restaurants. It's 10:54. Phil, do you have time for maybe one more phone call here?
Sure, why not?
You're a restaurant critic, so we'll talk about gas masks and gloves. Let's talk to Grace. You're on WGN. Hi, Grace. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi. I think Phil is going a little over the top also. I have not shopped in the grocery store for probably a couple of months. Fortunately, my family is going for me. But I just heard on your radio station a couple of days ago that a doctor said he certainly did not feel that gloves was the important thing. Masks, absolutely. But gloves, just when you are in the store, have your Purell in the car, have your wipes, you can wipe your steering wheel, and then you get home and you use the good old soap and water, and also for
your hands. Yeah.
Yes. And when you're groceries, I totally disagree with using anything except, which the doctors, I've heard them say, soap and water. I don't want any bleach or anything else on any cans of food, or just, again, soap and water will do the trick. It doesn't have to be warm, can be cold. And, I'm walk a lot. I'm out, and I see people. Most people are pretty good about the mask, but they're not always. And I'm seeing while I'm walking also masks and gloves laying down, and I'm not touching them either. But, I think I certainly want to be cautious, but I think, and as far as like bananas, my daughter's a little over the top, but
Wait a minute. Hold on. What is your daughter over the top about bananas? Does she wipe down the bananas?
Oh, wipes them. Everything.
You'll pardon the expression. Okay, hold on just 1 second. Phil, thank you for the phone call, Grace. Phil, I hope you're not feeling defensive about all of this.
No, not at all. If anything, I would just caution her that since she said she's not using glove, but she's using Purell instead. For what you'll spend for 4 to 7 ounces of Purell, I can get 100 gloves. Just mentioning it. I mean, if you're gonna use an ounce of Purell to wipe everything down, I'm probably being a little more cost effective using gloves instead.
630 said, "Well, then, do you wipe down the wipe down box?"
Yeah, there you go. 312
said, "Wipe down everything."
End.
I know it really is. And then the last thing I touch, now I got to clean that, and then I got to clean that. I think it's overdoing it, John. Hey, John, I've been doing the exact thing Phil has been doing. Bravo, Phil. It's not really a big deal. It just becomes a routine. John,
true.
I spray the bags with Lysol. and take the stuff out in the garage. I throw the bags away. The food then gets wiped down with Clorox wipes in the laundry room, and then we put it away. We did a version of that for a short while when this thing first broke, and we were very, very cautious. Now when I bring the food in, I don't think we're in the habit of wiping it down. I certainly don't wipe down my banana, if you know what I mean. That's the end of that.
Once in a while is not a bad idea.
Phil, I'm going to say goodbye now. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you for joining
us
today. Stay well, and
All right. We'll
visit next Wednesday and whatever this was that we just did here, okay?
Okay, and if there's any consolation, I am not wiping the receiver of the phone when I'm done.
I'll bet he will. Bye, Phil.
Bye.